Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Hope you had a great day yesterday. A wonderful Easter time of celebration. And it really is such a beautiful, beautiful time of year. The colors, spring, all of that. Just absolutely amazing. And joining me today, two amazing people with amazing PhDs, Dr. Dave Stoop. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Sitting next to Dave is Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, Alice.
I love getting to be with you boys.
Well, we like having you.
Yeah, we like having you around, too. And it really is, I think it's a great combination. If you want to join us, you can. And if you can't get through to us, well, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, there are people there that want to help you all of the time. Now, Dave, we got a new book that we're featuring here this whole month. It's in the Arterburn Wellness Series, and it's this wonderful book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol or Drug Addiction. And in searching for who would be the key lead on this book, we searched far and wide for the finest biblically-based expert on alcohol or drug addiction.
And you couldn't get anybody else.
And we landed right back at home with you. And why do you think this might be a little bit different than some of the other books that have been written from a biblical perspective, a Christian perspective on alcohol and drug addiction?
Well, I had a working title of What to Do When Someone You Love is an Alcoholic or an Addict. And it's aimed at the family members and the friends and the loved ones of the alcoholic and addict and what they have to start to change in order to help that person come to sobriety. And it comes out of our personal experience because our son was an addict. He was in 13 programs. He started. He finished maybe two of them. And then we got into a program that really treated the whole family. And that's what made a difference in terms of his recovery and sobriety. So we jumped at the chance to write it because it's a personal experience book, but it's also what we've found has been effective in all kinds of situations. And
well, anytime, I mean, I know your story backwards and forwards, and anytime a professional moves forward with a personal story, you know, I think that's where the greatest value is always found. And your story is one of tragedy, failure, nothing works, and then boom, everything changes. And as a result, you've got you've got a son who is successful, who's happy, who's fulfilled.
We got our son back.
Yeah, and it isn't always that case. And
no.
So that's what people will find in this book. It's a path and it's a process that's proven over the years. And of course, Dave and I were so pleased to get to put together the Life Recovery Bible 25 years ago, and now it's in the second edition with new features and so many great new benefits to it. It really is one amazing Bible. I just feel so blessed to be part of it. And a great combination is to give a mother or a father or somebody that's connected to somebody with an alcohol and drug problem, understanding and loving a person with alcohol or drug addiction, and give them the Bible. We've got them right here at New Life. But give them the Bible so that they could give that to the person with the addiction problem. And also, it's for codependents, too, so they could benefit from it.
Well,
we'll take this break. Yes, Alice.
It's so empowering because it gets our focus on what we can control ourselves versus what's out of our control, the other person.
That is true. We'll be right back right after this break.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to the phones. How about we talk with Emily, who's calling us from Detroit, Michigan. Hi, Emily. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi. Good. How about you?
We're doing okay. How could we help?
So I had some questions about in your previous show. You guys were talking about gaslighting.
We have talked about gaslighting quite a bit, yes.
Yeah, and I was wondering about like how to handle some really odd in-law situations. And, what's the best way to go about dealing with people denying problems and things like that, or lots of guilt trips, but no way to remedy the situation?
Well, what's going on that they're feeling the need to distort the truth?
Yeah, they do, yes.
Yeah, what's going on that they feel that need?
Okay, well, several things. Some of it would be like not respecting our boundaries. They have a child who is drug addicted and violent out on the streets, and we don't want him around our young kids. And so, like, they know that if we would come over for a visit, they would just have him there without us knowing beforehand, knowing how strongly we feel about that, because they think it's mean to exclude him.
Mm-hmm. How is that gaslighting? How is that related to gaslighting?
That part, I don't think, is it's the, like, they have another child with developmental disabilities that they adopted, who has lashed out physically at our kids to the point that our kids were terrified to go over there, and they're like, no, he did never hurt them, or, you know, just not understanding our side of things and making very small of it, or telling us that, like, we're being ridiculous and we just have to accept that. And there's just this weird dynamic of the sister-in-law pretending that she's the mother-in-law trying to get possession over our children. Like they would get mad at me if I would come to pick them up at a scheduled time.
Okay, so the question for us then is, what do you do in dealing with people like this, or what?
Yeah, it's anytime I bring up the situation, like these things are bothering me, how do we remedy it? They say there's no problem, or there's a big guilt trip now that we've kind of shrunk back. We don't see you enough, but if we call to come over, the house is not in proper state, they would say, for us to come visit them, or they don't want to come visit us. They're too busy. So they don't make themselves available, but yet constantly kind of beat us over the head of, you don't bring the kids around enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Emily, is the son that you say is addicted to drugs, he lives at home and is part of the family?
No, they kicked him out, and he just kind of goes from place to place, but then they'll feel guilty and bring him back in, just for visits or holidays and things like that.
Wow.
And Emily, these are your father's parents? I mean, excuse me, your husband's parents that are acting this way?
Yeah. What's his point, like, if we...
Mm-hmm. What's your husband's take on... Emily, what's your husband's take on this situation and how to handle his parents?
He talks it up to serious mental disturbances that have gone unresolved, and he's just kind of used to it. He has been standing up against them, saying, like, it's you have to accept our authority as parents and stuff. And then they're just like, well, then maybe we shouldn't be a part of your life. Obviously, you guys don't trust us, which there are trust issues because they don't respect our authority as parents. And just controlling what we say, like everything is a big deal. If anything hurts your feelings, it's a big deal. And if I say something that you wouldn't
okay.
think would hurt somebody's so feelings,
look,
but it, they
here's the deal. They have no respect for anything that you think is right or wrong, helpful or not helpful. Would you agree to that?
Yes.
Okay. So you're probably not going to change that, right?
No.
Okay. So
it causes immense anxiety in me.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's what you have to deal with, is the immense anxiety that's caused from that within you, because they're probably not going to change. So going over to them more isn't going to change it. Going there less isn't going to change. You have to resolve it within yourself. They have made the choice not to respect or regard what you think is important to be respected and regarded, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, but the guilt trips come in, and well, Christian families shouldn't be like okay. this.
So,
we need
so
to
I think,
gather more.
Yeah, I think you're going to need some help. You're going to need to get some help for you, so that you are not your mood, your who you are, isn't determined by how they feel or how they treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the guilt trips sound like it go one way, you know. That you don't trust them, but they don't respect you, and that's what I would keep coming back to. You don't seem to respect our boundaries and our concerns, and that's got to be your husband's primary task, because his concern should be about how you're feeling about this, the anxiety that you're feeling, and he becomes your protector. So he's the one who does the interpreting and the limit setting and the explanation. It shouldn't be on your shoulders.
No, well, his mom tries to, like, kind of befriend me. Like, it's really close with me, but then I find out that if another family member came to visit, she's checking up to see if my house is clean or if I cooked a decent meal and things like that. And so it's like I don't really understand the relationship dynamic there. Like, is she my friend or my enemy? Like, what's the issue here?
She's your mother-in-law.
But why don't you just listen to your husband, what he's told you? He's told you the problem. He said they believe him, they have an emotional or a mental problem here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I were you, I would accept your husband's diagnosis, and then rather than act like that's not true or hope it's not, you have to change your life accordingly. She doesn't think you do the house very well. That's kind of insulting, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, she knows I keep a better home than she does, and she wants to keep tabs on it, is what I've heard.
Okay. All right. Well, Alice, do you have any wisdom for her? Because I don't know that I'm helping here.
I'll give it a shot, Steve. Emily, it is. It is. And you are in a very difficult position of trying to protect your children and maintain relationship with toxic in-laws. So I have four thoughts for you to consider, Emily. One is, I think you always need to expect an unhealthy or toxic environment and circumstances when it comes to dealing with your in-laws. So that if you're going to engage with them, whether it's a phone call or going over, I think you have to start knowing this probably will not go well. There'll be insults or there'll be somebody toxic in the home. Because if you have that expectation, you can decide what you need to do to keep yourself and your family safe. So I want you to think about, pray about with your husband, what kind of exposure can you and your children safely tolerate with your mother-in-law? And that may be, we can't go to their home because it's not safe. But mother-in-law, you're welcome to come to our house. Or we're going to the park, and mother-in-law, if you want to meet us there to spend time with the kids, we'd love to have you there. If you can meet on neutral ground or in your home instead, still expecting that things will be somewhat unhealthy and toxic, you can better safeguard yourself and your children. The last two thoughts are, if you try to tell your in-laws what they have to do, you have to respect our authority as parents. I think you're wasting your breath. We can't make anybody else respect us. All we can do is change how much we're willing to expose ourselves to them when we know already they don't respect us. The last thing, you keep talking about the guilt, and I hear that heavy burden of, oh, am I doing the right thing? Am I handling this correctly? So as you hopefully put some of these things into practice that we're talking about, take any of that guilt trip over to your safe people so that you can get their take on it and their evaluation and feedback of, yeah, you really messed that up, Emily. You shouldn't have talked to her that way. Or, Emily, you did exactly the right thing. That's your unhealthy mother-in-law talking. That is not you doing something wrong.
Dave, any final comment here?
I just want to underscore the fact that the thing I would talk to my husband about is to protect me and to take seriously my anxiety. And if you got his support, unequivocal support and understanding, I think the things that Alice said to you, we become a lot easier to experience and to accomplish.
Yeah, okay. You need his support. You need his support, and you need the support of other people. And you have to give up. You have to give up that dream that they're going to magically and wonderfully become different people. He really has provided you, I think, with the insight that you need, and then you have to adjust and alter the way you interact with them based on that. All right, really glad that you called. 1-800-229-3000, that's our number, but you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE anytime, all the time. We'll try to get to you as fast as we can if there's somebody on the line or, you know, whatever it is. We want to help you the best way possible. And especially, you know, maybe Easter you were in church and maybe you heard something you hadn't heard before, or the Lord laid something on your heart in a way that you had never experienced it before. What a great time of year to decide, hey, this is going to be my time of resurrection for the way of life that God has called me to, the way I've always wanted to live. Maybe this will be the year where a year from now at Easter, I'll look back and I'll be astounded, and people will be astounded at the transformation that God has done in my life. All right, let's take another caller. Who you guys want to go to, you pick, and that's who we'll go to.
Let's stick with the Midwest. I'm partial. Cindy in Chicago, Illinois, watches us on NRB TV.
Hi, Cindy. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi, how are you? Question is, my ex-husband is in a senior living facility, and I know he was a womanizing man and was stealing and doing all kinds of things like that. That's why I divorced him. But he still tried to keep in contact with me through the phone, through my grown children, and say that he's getting himself together so maybe we can be back together again. My question to you is that I know that he's womanizing and flirting with the younger women that that work there, and the people that's in the living facilities that's not completely disabled. He's manipulating them and possibly stealing. Would it be out of character for me to call anonymously and let them know what he's doing? Or should I stay out of it? And also, he calls me and try to talk to me like he's getting himself together. So if things don't work out there with the ladies and girls that he's trying to manipulate, that he, you know, he know the type of woman, Christian woman that I am. He'll have somewhere else to come back if I think he's getting his life together, which I know it is a trap of the enemy that he's using him, because he has a direct phone in the room there, and sometimes my daughter or son will call him late at night and he's not in the room. And he doesn't have a car, so it means that he's roaming around or doing something he shouldn't be doing or going out. So how should I handle a situation like that?
Okay, well, let's see what, let's start with you, Alice. What do you think? Should she call the facility? She even mentioned he's stealing from other people.
Well, Steve, that's what sticks out for me, too. Flirting, I don't know that I would report that to anybody, even if you don't think it's appropriate, Cindy, but the stealing, what makes you think that he's stealing from other people?
Because he has, he had a tendency to do that. And I'm sure he is, because he's on a fixed income and he has, you know, money to, quote unquote, play the lottery and do different things that he shouldn't be able to do, because the amount that's paid for the living facility, he don't have that, you know, much money left.
So because you don't know where the money's coming from, and because of his history, you believe, you assume that he's stealing from people.
Right, I believe he's doing that, or he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing.
Okay, and we will come right back.
Hold on. We'll take a break.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. To call or not to call, that is the question here. Alice, your thought is that she should do what?
My thought comes with the first through 2 other questions. Cindy, would you consider confronting your husband and asking him, your ex-husband, asking him about this extra money?
He's a big liar. He's not going to admit to anything. Every time I try to talk to him, he always says he's not doing nothing wrong. He don't know why I think that of him.
Okay.
And all like that. And, he's not going to admit to doing anything wrong.
And, Cindy, what are you afraid will happen? What could be a negative consequence if you were to report it to the senior living home?
Maybe they will take him out of there, but he needs some help, because he was a manipulator with me, my grown children that I have, and still do try to manipulate us. He will act like he needs something or he don't have nothing, and, you know, that he's doing right, and You can catch him, you know, like I say, we call there. The phone is on the in the room, and, you know, he don't answer, or he'll say he went somewhere. He just is just a big lie. He hasn't changed. And the things that, and I wouldn't, you know, and especially the younger girls that work there on the weekends, you know, I don't want to see nobody, you know, the older women should know better, but the younger girls, I kind of feel for them because I have, you know, young granddaughters, and I wouldn't want an older man to manipulate them and, you know, stuff like that.
Well, Cindy, I do think we have a biblical responsibility to both confront people when we believe they're doing something wrong, but also to these other innocent folks at the senior living that you're talking about, that you standing up for them and making a call so that at least this is investigated, I think seems to be a, both a wise and a brave thing to do. And are you willing to go forward and make the call?
I would, but my daughter told me that she thinks I should, you know, while I'm worried about this man, what he's doing, just go on with my life.
Well, I understand that thinking, but there's also, I think we're kind of all called to do what we can to protect other people, you know?
Well, the thing I would be concerned about, Cindy, is that he gets kicked out, and then you've kind of had a part in that, and I guess you'll feel responsible. And I would not want you to be responsible for that kind of a thing. There could be some way that you say something to them about the stealing, but you can't. I wouldn't bother with the womanizing thing because that's they know that, and they probably made issues with that with their staff. But the stealing thing does scare me.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you called. I don't know that we've helped you a lot here. I think there are consequences, certainly, if you do call. There are also, I think it's a wonderful thing to take into consideration helping other folks who may not know what you know.
Steve, can I add one more thought to that?
Sure.
Because I think, Dave, you're so right that Cindy may feel the guilt and then the responsibility to take him back in when I don't think there's been sign of change, although he's claiming he's a changed man. So I would also ask, Cindy, that you would protect yourself by telling people in your life that you intend to do this, but to also have them help hold you accountable that you don't take him back until and if you ever see true signs of change in him. So to help hold yourself strong, get that support around you before you make this call.
And it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, they say.
Yeah.
And when we get old, it takes a lot longer for us to change our behavior. So don't be encouraged.
Okay. All right. I hope that's helpful to you. And, let me send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I think that'll be a great encouragement. Hope that it will be. And I think there's just a basic issue here, and her kids are kind of holding her back. But, you know, we always want to do whatever we can if we can help somebody else not fall victim or fall prey to somebody who doesn't have our best interests in mind. So, I think whenever we can, that's exactly what we need to do. How about we go to Abby in Orlando, Florida? Hi, Abby. How are you? What's going on with you today?
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Hi. My question is I struggle with body image and self-hatred, and I have, that's led me to several decisions that I've made in my life, like promiscuity in my young adult years and suicide attempts. And And then 5 years ago, I had a prior job that I was seeking attention from other men, and I think that was partly because, I felt like I wasn't getting attention from my husband, and also I didn't feel very self-confident in my job, and I felt like I needed you know, these men to help me with certain tasks that I wasn't able to do, and I was fearful of losing my job.
Okay. So what is the question for us? And maybe we can discuss that at the break.
The question is that I guess I'd like some advice on how I overcome, you know, my body image and my self-hatred problem. And as far as, you know, seeking attention, even though nothing physical happened, I have a lot of guilt about that. And
okay. We're going to help you after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Alice Benton, and your phone calls right now. We're talking to Abby. And Dave, you want to start us off with her?
What's the worst thing that you've tried to deal with in terms of your feeling guilty, Abby? What's an example?
Feeling guilty about past things that I've done.
Mm-hmm. And what have you been in counseling with that, or?
I was in counseling a while ago, but I stopped that, actually.
Why'd you stop?
I brought my husband in, and he got mad and said that, that he never wanted to go again. And I guess because he said that, I got angry and I just stopped going.
Because that's the kind of issue, guilt and self-image. That's a big part of what we do as counselors, is to help people change some of those perceptions. It's pretty hard to change it on your own, because it's hard to imagine what life would be like without the guilt and without the regrets for what's happened. But if you live in the past, you're controlled by the past in the present, which is what you're describing.
Evie, I want to step right into this with you, because we're hearing your humble confession that you have been vulnerable to emotional infidelity, and that there's some painful things in your past that Dave is alluding to and helping you to look at. When we're vulnerable to emotional infidelity, it's so easy to blame that I've fallen into this, or I have the urges to do this because of what other people are or are not doing. I hear that you're not getting attention from your husband, not enough. That he got angry and he walked out of therapy. And it's easy to let his behavior have too powerful of an influence over you. But as you're saying, Evie, it's leading you down this path of self-hatred. So what I want to encourage and ask you to do is to bring the shame, the guilt, and that self-hatred to the safety of safe relationship with other women. There seem to be some things that I think you can't necessarily confess to us here, but that you need to take into relationship and allow other people to sit with you in what you are so ashamed of or feel so guilty for. By doing that, by grieving and being accepted by other people who have also made their mistakes, that is what I think will lead you forward in your healing process. But you can't give up on it based on what your husband is doing or how he is reacting to you. Evie, would you be willing to step back into the healing process no matter what your husband does?
Yes, I'd like to go back into therapy. And I am in a recovery group, and I've confessed that to the other people in recovery group, but I have to say that the self-hatred started as a child, and as a young child, and I guess it may be lack of attention, or being told that you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not this, you're not that, just developed into a sense of strong hatred that led to 3 suicide attempts. And that was even before any of this ever happened. So,
Evie,
what is the most helpful thing that anybody has ever helped you with or told you that relates to that self-hatred? Has anything had any kind of an impact for you that's good?
Just to tell me, to use scripture from the Bible and concentrate on what God says about me.
And so since then you've done that, and obviously that didn't help. You said this problem existed before you started seeking this attention. It's frequent that we tell people that's probably a very nice thought, but it's incomplete advice. And, you are in a support group. You say you have been open with them. Are you working any kind of program? Are you doing any kind of step work or anything like that in addition to being open?
Yes, I am in a step program right now.
Okay.
It's all good.
Right. Evie, there may need to be some deeper work done. When we have been told we're worthless from our youngest years, and that message was given to you over and over again, and you've carried such deep pain that you've tried to take your life multiple times, I want you to consider a very particular kind of therapy that goes in to work on those traumas and those beliefs that are so deeply held within you, and that would be EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Because we could tell you 100 times that those things aren't true about you, that you're a child of God, that you're lovable, but those messages cannot get past some of the childhood wounds that were inflicted upon you. And I think you may need professional help to guide you into how to truly deeply heal from those messages that just are not easily shaken from you. Would you be willing to consider looking into that?
Sure.
If you will look for that combination of both Christian therapists and EMDR, and we've got a lot of those clinicians in our network that we could help direct you to, I think that combination will really add to all this good work you've already been doing on yourself.
Yeah, I think you've got a lot of things that you're going to have to access, including your support group, marriage counseling with your husband, a lot of things. But there's nothing more important than you taking a different approach to this. Nothing you've done so far has produced a result to where you can say, I used to hate the way I look, but now I understand and I accept it. Or I used to need to be fascinating to men. Now I don't have that need anymore. That's what we want for you, to be free from any need like that outside of your marriage. And your husband's going to have to come along and meet some of those needs, but you're going to have to really delve deeply into the problem so that you come out with a result different than you've had before. Christian counselor, I'll give you Take Your Life Back. Maybe you can come to that workshop, and it would just do wonders for you. But I would say of all the things that you're going to need, you need an older woman who's a great mother figure to come alongside and give you, provide for you some support, some kind of reparenting that you need if things are going to be different for the rest of your life. That's what I want for you.
And stay on the line, Evie, because we'll have you talk with somebody who can give you some recommended resources on that.
Yeah, but it really does require, I know this is tough for a lot of people. It's tough to say the things that I've done have not worked. And now I've got to find something else. At the weekend, I was saying to folks, you know, if somebody thinks that they're demon-possessed, okay, we'll take them to an exorcist. But if that demon is still there, you know, a therapist can really be a great exorcist, many times more effective than somebody that would say they're an exorcist, because the demon is released through a process, through a plan of working and looking at things from a totally different perspective. And just memorizing Scripture, studying Scripture, we find separate and apart from a redemptive relationship, it's just often not enough. And I believe the Bible and its truth to be so powerful. It's so sharp. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. And it reveals our motives and all. But still, we have to come alongside another person if things are going to be different. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to, and I'll send her Take Your Life Back. That's coming her way. Who do we want to talk to next?
Let's go to Candace in Little Rock, Arkansas. She lives. She listens to us on the internet.
Candace, how are you doing today?
Hi. Needing help.
Okay.
And so glad to be able to speak with you.
What kind of help do you need today? What's going on?
I'll try to be as quick as I can. I've been married not quite 3 years. My husband is a true gaslighter. I had a brain injury, and I have long-term memory issues, so he gets it twisted and thinks that I have short-term memory, which I do not. And so when we're in conversation, he will start to just get furious and come after me and attack me verbally and just get really fed up and walk out of the room. Well,
it's horrible.
I'm sorry?
I said, that's horrible that that's his reaction.
Oh, it gets much better, unfortunately. 6 months after we were married, he
actually. Hold on. We're going to take a break. Hold on.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference in Washington, D.C. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Washington, D.C. May 18th and 19th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. And so let's get back to our... Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So the big question for us, we don't have a lot of time, but I want to help you. The biggest question for us would be...
Okay. He has had several emotional affairs and probably some physical affairs. I don't have proof of the physical, but I do of the other. And just yesterday, I found information of him exchanging phone numbers with a single woman. Mm-hmm. And we have a counseling session to go to this Thursday. And I don't know how to confront him because he has basically move from woman to woman to woman to woman when she catches on to what he really is.
Okay.
And so he's not afraid to take me up on divorcing.
Okay, so here's what we've got time to tell you. You're going to go see a counselor, and Alice, I want you to tell her what is the most effective way to bring this up and to deal with it in that counseling session.
Candace, I would actually recommend that you call the counselor ahead of time and see if the counselor is willing to strategize with you of how to address it in the session. Would you do that?
Okay. Okay. We went last week, and she asked him about him advertising on Craigslist, and he was not completely honest with her. So that's okay. Part
then,
of
and when,
that,
when he was not completely honest with her, did you say, that's not completely honest, honey?
No, I didn't, because like I said, we've been through 2.5 years of this, and he is, you know, he's got almost every book you all have written, and I have Sherry's new book, and, you know, he came off the road and said, I need to be accountable, and we put covenant eyes on his phone, and now he's angry at me because it's on there. I mean, I've done everything I can think of, and it all comes back to it's all my fault that he does what he does, and he won't even tell me exactly what he does. He just needs accountability.
So why are you going to counseling with him?
Because he thinks I need to be fixed.
Okay, but he's being unfaithful. He's not truthful in counseling. It seems like to me it's not producing anything.
You're not being truthful with the counselor, Candace,
and
a counselor can't do anything.
I didn't know if I would, you know, ethically, if I could call and talk to her before we go back and say, hey, this is a new.
Yes, you can. She may not agree that you can do that, but you can leave her a message and let her know that you need some help with this because you're only skimming the surface and there's some deeper issues that aren't being
dealt with. And we've tried counseling before, and he always wants me to go first because he just will not face his issues.
But,
he won't read Steve's book. He won't go to the EMB. I've begged him, and he just
will not. So you're not willing to do anything when he's not willing to do anything. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. See, you're stuck because you're not willing to do anything.
I am completely stuck because I know I have my faults too.
We all have faults. Hold on. But he's unfaithful to you. So
right.
So you're not willing to do anything about that. That's the problem.
And you don't have to have proof about the physical affair. If somebody's had emotional affairs, it doesn't take long for that to transfer into something that's physical. And the emotional affair is a betrayal in and of itself. So don't right. worry that you've got to have proof or any of that. You don't have to have proof. You've got enough proof in terms of understanding what's going on.
But also, you can't be dissatisfied if you're at a place where you're not willing to do anything in his unwillingness to do anything. You have to live with it, or you have to find the courage to do something different than what you're doing. Do you understand what
I'm
saying?
That's what I'm leaning on the counselor for, is to give me some insight on what I need to do.
Well, the counselor is not going to do that, probably in front of him. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to say to him, you either go to Every Man's Battle, or we need to break our marriage apart here. Not right. that we want you to break your marriage apart, but that we want him to hear you and be motivated right. to do something. That's the point.
Right.
And Candace, I want you to prepare for this conversation with the counselor in three different ways. I think it's always good to acknowledge your role in the problem. That may be, I've been holding something back and I wasn't sure when and how to bring it up. So acknowledge that. I also want you to think about, what do you need in this situation, in your marriage, from the counselor? And thirdly, what are these elephants in the room that you have not been willing to bring up? So I want you to write this down after the call, and then either call your counselor or email the counselor and ask for a brief strategizing meeting before the session. I do this with my patients all the time, but I let them know I'm not going to keep anything secret from your spouse if you talk with me individually. So it's always something that you can ask for. If you're willing to prepare those three things and then bring that written list to the counseling session, I think that will help move you forward into more truth in that next session.
Right.
I am glad that you called. I wish I had more time, but I don't. And I think that the biggest issue here is a willingness to do something you haven't been willing to do, and then him finally responding to that in a way he's never responded before. Well, I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I hope that that will be of help to you. I think it will be. In order for us to do this, we need your help and your support. We have so many great, great, wonderful resources available, whether or not it's anger, fear, grief, codependency, anxiety, or just feeling stuck. You call us and we'll help you with that. But we can't do anything that we do if you can't support us. I've got Larry Sonnenberg here. Larry, help us to see the need and meet the need of the financial aspect of all that we do here.
Well, Steve, all those things you just rattled off, we've got videos either already online or in the works on our new benefit for Club New Life members, and that's our video library. One of the things I get to do is view each of those just to make sure things are right and things are spelled correctly and it's looking like it's supposed to look. And we have stuff on sexual addiction, recovery, anger, grieving, talking to kids about porn, protecting them from exposure to porn. You've did a series of videos on trauma. It just goes on and on. Mylon K did the comfort circle. You did things on intimacy and marriage. There's things on bipolar, frustrations, forgiveness. It just goes on. Sherry's done some that aren't up, but they will be within the next week on the brain. So if you could help us, if you could join Club New Life, a monthly giving program, $30 or more, you'll get access to that video. It's a way of saying thank you to our faithful and loyal givers, and we would like you to be one of those. We need like six of those every day in order to get where we hope to get by the end of the year. So if you could be one of six today, you could call up and just say, hey, I want to join that club. The thank you gift is the set of eight Understanding and Loving Somebody With series, the Arterburn Wellness series. So thank you for everybody who is giving. It's just, I can't speak highly enough. If you're brand new, try it. Make a gift to New Life. Join Club New Life for the first time. You'll be happy you did, and you'll help a lot of people.
Well, we hear it all the time. You know, you can't change the whole world, but you can change the whole world of one person. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Support us, help others. It really can be a great blessing for a family, generations to come. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dave, Alice. Thank you, Larry. Thanks to all of you who watch, listen, and pray for us. God bless you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.